Hope everybody had a happy Easter or Passover or whatever you celebrate the first week of April. But we've got some more lacrosse to talk about as we head into April. I'm Ryan McDonald.
I'm Chris Ostremski.
We also have Jake Nazar on this edition of College Crosscast. And that's how you salvage some dead air. Welcome to Crosscast. Yep. We do not have Seif Okadu yet. He's having some issues moving in. I guess that answers the question of Bon Jovi's who said you can't go home. Apparently, Seif's movers.
That was a good one. Nailed it.
So Seif will eventually get back on the show, but in the meantime, we got the three of us.
The A team.
The ratings team.
The ratings team.
Indeed.
And unlike UFC and boxing, we give you what you want, not settling. Though we would like Seif on this too, but...
We would.
But we're not necessarily settling.
We're not deliberately excluding him.
Right.
So pretty much we can compare the movers to like the contaminated beef that Canelo ate, and that's why he's not here.
Yes.
Yeah.
That and he also is following intently on Yale Bucknell trying to validate why he ranked Yale number 9.
Seif is hanging on every second of that game like it's the end of his life.
And it's close.
This is it for him. It's never. He has,
well, the underranked.
This game is like Hopkins.
Oh, he's gonna unrank them if they lose.
Oh, they might not even rank them. Like if they lose, he might not.
Yeah, Bucknell, top 20. Bucknell lose to them. Forget about it.
Did he rank Bucknell this week?
I'm gonna go
in and look.
I'm looking now. No, he did not.
Okay, wow, well,
which is a little suspicious. That,
but. In his revised, I guess for the lulz thing, he put Harvard at 9 and 19 instead of Yale at 9.
Maybe Harvard accepted him and Yale didn't.
Yeah, probably
haven't. We love you, Seif, so eventually we'll have you back on board.
There's always graduate school.
That there is. Anywho, in that tornado, yeah.
Man, it's insane.
Oh, yeah, the wind is terrible tonight. The power's flickering at work today. And there's supposed to be freaking snow this Saturday again.
Snow.
Spring sport.
As in snow.
As in 3 to 5 inches in the forecast snow.
Towson literally pushed their game back to Friday night because they're expecting snow.
This is the worst spring. No, don't play the safe card.
Start
and say,
the season in March.
Don't play the safe card and say, this is all proofs that we should have been playing in January.
You start in March. No.
If we started in March, you know, this would just be, you know, your regular old, you know, bad, you know.
Bad luck.
Yeah, but instead, we're here in April.
All righty, let's move on to some news and notes, because we got plenty to talk about. Is that right, Chris?
That is correct, I think. We'll start with Towson, because that's really the big one that's going on right now. That is actually lacrosse-related. John Mazza, leading offensive player. I thought he was a midfielder. He was a midfielder last year, but apparently he's listed as attacker.
He's an attacker now. Yeah.
He's an attacker now. Okay, well, he's not on the team anymore. Right now, he's indefinitely suspended, along with defenseman Sid Ewell and redshirt attackman Dylan Kinnear. Kinnear's name taken off the roster. That probably means he's goodbye, gone. Trying to paraphrase Gary Thorne there, but failed miserably. Ewell, probably their top defenseman. Yeah. Mazur, probably the top attackman. And yeah, none of them played Saturday in Hofstra, and they lost 9-3. So maybe we had that hope for Towson just gone away just like that quickly.
Yeah. I mean, if those guys don't come back, I mean, never been against Natalyn, but I think Towson's pretty much sunk without those guys.
Yep, and then there's another trio that were that did not. Well, actually, also Connor Fields not playing against UMBC on Saturday, suffered a strained MCL a couple weeks ago. Probably a good move not to play him because it's UMBC and Albany should cruise past the AE without any problems. Justin Ray did not play either in Saturday's win over Stony Brook. And then with Denver, Connor Donahue has a lower body injury, but he'll be back before the end of the regular season per Bill Tierney. He did not play against Georgetown, and neither did Drew Sapinski and Sean Mayall. Sapinski did not play for undisclosed reasons, so we could think it may be injury, maybe something else. We don't know. That's why it's undisclosed. And Sean Mayall did not play due to personal reasons, so I would probably say he might be back closer than Sapinski is, but Tierney pretty much not really giving specifics on either one, or, well, pretty much deadlines for either one of those two guys. And that's it, I believe.
Yep, you could listen to and subscribe to Chris's Across College Cross for some news and notes on the media landscape, and we won't reiterate it because we don't want to steal your subscriptions on that. But Chris has some good takes on that if you want to listen.
Yep, including a TV one with ESPN Plus starting April 12th. By the way, that's another one. Ivy League Network is going to be no more, and apparently they will be going to the ESPN Plus platform.
Which is actually going to save you money if you want to watch
it. Somehow, Ivy League Athletics. Yeah. $4.99 a month is better than $9.95 a day or $10.95 a month. It's insanely expensive, and I don't even know why, but RIP. Well, actually, no. Not, it's just rest. Ivy League. Yeah. Not in peace.
And in late breaking news, Princeton Topics is actually a thing.
Wow.
I literally just discovered that. It's a weekly
newspaper.
You just
discovered that. I'm doing that all along. I just never have seen any actual lacrosse stuff go up there except maybe once a month.
Well, we learned something new today, folks. Why don't we look back at something that everybody knows, but we're going to reiterate. That's the weekly scoreboard. So let's fire that up as I just take a note real quick. Okay.
This weekend scoreboard is sponsored by the Princeton Town Topics, an actual newspaper.
Princeton Town Topics. Safe's got to, now that he's back in Jersey, he's got to scout and find a copy of that and post it to his Twitter while Yale's losing a lacrosse game or something like that. Did we record last Wednesday? Because Albany 14, Harvard 6.
No, we recorded Tuesday.
Okay, so Albany 14, Harvard 6. The Great Danes shut down the Crimson in a pretty big non-con game for them, all told. Given that Harvard's been looking a bit better, so the Great Danes remain undefeated there. Friday night, we had two critical conference games. Duke beats UNC 11-10 to grab their first ACC win of the year. And then in the NEC in Moon Township, which my new favorite background for a lacrosse stadium is
incredible.
Robert Morris's.
Yeah, amazing.
The right-hand side is a car dealership. Midfield's a supermarket, and the left side's a strip mall with your stereotypical Western Pennsylvania hilly landscape with Section 8 housing or something or another in the back.
It's amazing. I love it.
Oh, I love college lacrosse fields with just the most random landscapes ever. Obviously, it's Western PA, so it's nice and picturesque with the hills. It's just that it's in the most random location. Where it's like, yep, that's a Pittsburgh suburb.
It's like I was watching the Maryland Michigan game, and I'm pretty sure in the background there was like a house.
But it ain't a giant eagle.
That is true. Or a fine wine and good spirits nearby.
Well, anyway, in NEC play, in NEC play, Bryan takes the NEC lead by downing Robert Morris 10-7, showing that the Northeast Conference road still has to run through Smithfield, Rhode Island.
And not through a car dealership.
Unfortunately. So Brian is 3-0 in the Northeast Conference. Robert Morris down to 2-1 in that one. So do you want to discuss those two games before moving on to Saturday's slate?
Well, I do think it's important for us to literally bow down and worship the fact that Duke had 4,000 people. I can't remember the last time I ever saw a lacrosse game with 4,000 people there. Like, this is incredible. Like, this has literally never happened before in the history of the entire sport. 4,000 people at a game. Unbelievable. Thank you, Duke. Thank you for rescuing college lacrosse by having 4,000 people at a game. God bless.
It just shows that maybe you have some beer while watching lacrosse on a Friday afternoon. Hashtag happy hour lacrosse. And it will work. I don't think Duke sells beer there, but let's say they do.
No, I mean, look, it was a great crowd, and I give them credit. But the whole thing where we, like, you have to lose our minds because Duke finally got people to show up to a game is, like, bizarre.
I'm happy. That's bizarre, though, that they haven't really gotten that big crowds, given that they've been successful for the past every year since after the rape scandal.
Well, thank you for just dropping that like that, Ryan. You could have went with, like,
since 2007. Okay, yeah, Danowski.
You just had to bank. Okay, but no, yeah, like, their attendance is flaky at best. Like, they had, like, 3,000 in the tournament 1 year, and then, like, under 1,000 a couple years later. So their attendance is, yeah, flaky. I mean, so, no, like, good for them. It was a great crowd. It was a good game. I'm just, you know, poking fun at the fact that, like, it was apparently, like, I don't know, discovered, like, God or something. The fact that Duke
can't. Born again the crossface. Born again speaking of being born again, maybe UNC was born again, even though they still lost by a goal.
They played better.
But that doesn't mean playing better if you win.
Hand grenades.
Yep.
No, I mean, look, they played. UNC needed to focus on playing better 2 or 3 weeks ago. You know, that was the time for UNC where it's like, we need to play better. Now it's like, you know, doesn't matter. Now you need to win. Because right now they're what, 6-6? Or 6-5?
They are 6-5, and the remaining three games are in an ACC play. And if they lose to Virginia, they're not going to make the ACC tournament. And that would mean at best they could finish 8-6, but that requires beating Syracuse in the dome and Notre Dame.
No, they could still make the ACC tournament if they lose to Virginia. If they win the.
Oh, yeah, that's true. If they beat Syracuse and Notre Dame, right.
Yeah, that's unlikely. I don't expect that to happen. But no, I mean, yeah, like, you know, look, playing better. Look, it was important for UNC to play better, but that was important for them, you know, against, I don't know, when they got blown out by Hofstra or when they lost to, you know, Maryland. Now it's they need to win games because they're not going to get into the NCAA tournament as an at-large team unless, you know, they ripped off 3 wins or something here at the end of the year. You know, and it's, I don't know, again, you know, it feels like a broken record with them. You know, the zone worked for a period, and then, you know, it didn't. And at the, you know, the offense looked better, got more contributions, but at the end of the game when it really mattered, they really couldn't get anything against Duke's defense. They had, like, what, you know, the ball for the last 2 minutes of the game or so, and they couldn't get a job done. Alex Basil looked good in goal. You know, yeah, there were some good signs for them, but it's, I don't know, it's we're in April now. You know, good signs doesn't really cut it.
I think definitely thought UNC played a lot better. I'm not sure about the goalie situation with Basil Brazula. It looks like Milliken's out. But Duke might not be as – I think maybe the takeaway from this is Duke might not be as strong as we thought.
I had that takeaway a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I think it kind of solidified that a little bit more with UNC. I don't know about how UNC will come out against Virginia, although they're the two worst teams in the ACC. But I think they're getting a lot better, Jake, as you said, with their defense. And they might – I don't know if they still have a chance. If they win an ACC game, they still have a chance at making the NCAA tournament. But it's a stretch.
If you get into the blatant ACC RPI booster, you know, you have a chance. So, you know, if they can beat Virginia – you know, and getting that tournament, that's how they got in last year. You know, I don't think they weren't getting in as an at-large when they were going into the RPI booster, but they won 2 games, and so they got in. So, yeah, you know, they're alive as long as they're in that. But Mm-hmm. As it stands right now, no.
And then, very impressive win for Brian. You know, the changing of the guard in the NEC we felt was going to Bobby Moe the way that the Colonials have been playing this year, but give credit to Coach Pressler and the Bulldogs because they showed up to play in a tough road game and, you know, making sure that the NEC has to go through them still, and that likely will, if, you know, things all hold, that'll get them the one seed. And I believe the NEC's at the top seed every year, so that would require Robert Morris going into Bryant's house and having to win the conference tournament there. So, very gutsy performance out of the Bulldogs.
Yeah, you know, Bobby Moe plays fast. You know, they like to play fast, like to go up-tempo, and Bryant doesn't. Bryant, you know, Bryant, for lack of a no pun intended, Bryant's a dogfight, you know? And so it really felt like Bryant imposed their will on Bobby Moe, and Bobby Moe really could not find a way to answer having to play at a slowed down, more grinded out style. And Bryant, yeah, they're just a pain in the ass to play. You know, they've done it, you know, to big teams, you know, in the NCAA tournament. You know, it's, we all know what Bryant is. And they showed it again here, you know, and again, I mean, going into, I mean, for RMU, I think, you know, it's not, I think they would have been bothered by it if it was away to Bryant, but I think you're really bothered by the fact that it was at home. You're at home, you know, you want to impose your will, you know, you want to play the way you like to play, you know, it's your house, you know, it was Friday night, you know, that's the kind of game where, you know, you really want to go out there and, you know, play the way you like to play and make it your game, and they just couldn't do it. You know, it always felt like they were kind of, you know, clawing back from behind, you know, and trying to get back in the game. And, you know, anytime they got a goal, Bryant was really right there to clap back. So, no, I mean, it was a textbook Pressler Bryant performance.
Going off of that, I believe Robert Moore scored, five of their goals early on. And then two goals in the final 34-47. And Brian just killed them slowly.
They do.
The Brian way. Yeah,
typical Brian way. Brian Pressler. Doing his own Mike Pressler things.
I move on to Saturday slate. It's time for the Patriot League random number generator. Bucknell at Army. It's Bucknell 10, Army 7 in West Point. So the Bison with the victory there. That puts Bucknell at 5-1 in second place in the Patriot League, whereas Army falls down to 2-3 and in possession of the final Patriot League tournament bid position.
If there's audio out there of me and Ryan picking Army to win the Patriot League, that wasn't us. Didn't happen.
No.
That was not us.
That was just a joke.
Someone else. Yeah, just a joke. We were just kidding.
Just a joke.
Completely kidding. We were not serious.
Nope. Not at all.
Meanwhile, Navy's somehow 5-1 in the Patriot League, and they beat Holy Cross 5-4.
God, hot! Wow.
Air Force also gets a victory in SOCOM, playing 9-7 over Bellarmine. Maryland with a mighty good win in Big Ten play over Michigan. They win 13-5 in Ann Arbor. Say hello to that house in the background. High Point beats Jacksonville. That's right. We may or may not have bought Duval too high in the season, but High Point with the good win, 11-9. So High Point at 2-1 in SoCon play. So's Jacksonville. More on the SoCon in a little bit because it's fun who's leading that conference. In the Big East, Villanova, who later in the weekend would win their second men's basketball title in 3 years. They beat Marquette 14-9. The Wildcats were in a cat fight with the Golden Eagles for a bit, but then pulled away in the fourth quarter to take the victory there. Canisius beats Marist 16-5. Denver survives Georgetown 6-5. The Pios dealing with some injuries, but they were behind for most of that game and then only were able to come away with the victory in the end. So a scrappy victory for Bill Tierney's bunch in D.C. Sorry, the Hoyas might not be back after all. They are now on a 3-game losing streak. Quinnipiac beats Detroit Mercy 14-11. VMI beats Hampton 18-3 between Virginia schools. Delaware beats Fairfield 11-10 in Colonial play. So good win there for DeLuca's boys and the Blue Hens. And Sacred Heart beats Mount St. Mary's 10-9.
I tell you guys, I'm not feeling Denver this year.
Nope.
Yeah.
I know they were down. I mean, next year, maybe, you know, I don't know what recruits to bring in. Maybe they'll get some, you know, a jolt on offense. Look, another down three guys. And that matters. It does. It's not, you know, without noting. But that offense, it's every game nowadays. It's Ethan Walker. And if it's not Ethan Walker, I mean, he basically, I mean, I think it's the second or third game in a row where it's like Ethan Walker's either scoring or assisting on every Denver goal. You know, he is, it's him, you know, and I said before, and I said earlier in the year, you know, I feel like he was their only real, you know, superstar. You know, Denver's always had like one to two, maybe sometimes three, you know, like when they won the championship, they had Canzaro, Berg, and Zach Miller, that's like three superstars. This year was only one, but not only that, I mean, it's like no one else down the lineup is even contributing. You know, like Colton Jackson, there's a lot of expectation of him. He's not really done a lot this year. Sometimes Austin French, you know, he's okay, you know, he's chipped in now and then. But yeah, it really feels, I mean, if this team didn't have Trevor Baptiste, they would have three or four more losses than they already have.
This means really,
he's
exist.
The guy who, yeah, it just, it does, yeah, really, honestly, it just doesn't exist. There's just nothing really there. And if they, yeah, if they didn't have Baptiste, who, A, it's like giving them goals. I mean, Baptiste is in some games scoring more goals than their midfield is. And he wasn't, you know, just constantly replenishing, meaning, you know, the possessions. Yeah, I don't know where this team would be. I believe the Nova game is this week. I think Nova is a clear favorite in that game.
Well, Ethan Walker, your only star. Colton Jackson. Remember, that's where I wanted to go. Remember when we were all like raved about their depth at the end of last season with Nate Morano scoring like a hat trick against Maryland from third midfield?
Yeah, and now it's gone.
There is no depth at all. It's even worse. There's like nothing in the midfield. You have these guys that are like, all right, this guy could be good. This guy could be good. On paper, they're good. And then when you see them play, they're like, I'm not sure. They're good. Except Walker and Baptiste. And then they're now having a goalie situation where Alex Reddy's out. And instead you have Josh Matt. So, and then defense is, I guess, there's, did you say their defense
is strength? That's
yeah.
their strength.
Yeah, and they lost their top LSM and Sean Mayall for at least a game. Not sure what his situation is, but if they're going to win by defense, I guess Captain Nadal influenced Bill Tierney in an indirect way.
No, I mean, this is, I was telling Ryan this, is like a late 2000s Princeton Bill Tierney team where the offensive talent is gone.
Hey, now they had Tommy really Davis.
On defense. Shut up, Ryan. Plugging your friends. But no, I mean, yeah, that's what this team is. The offense is, you know, it's really just, I mean, they play slow, as always. Every Bill Tierney team plays slow. But they play slow and they're lacking the talent. And so, yeah, it's a grind. Yeah, like, I mean, look, they've won a couple, you know, one-goal games. If those games have gone the other way, I think we're talking about a Denver team that's, you know, in trouble of not making the tournament. And I'm still not certain they make it if they don't win the Big East. I think they do, probably. But, you know.
Look,
I mean,
at their. I don't think they have a good win. I'm looking at the schedule right now. And
yeah, UNC, Ohio State, and Towson are the three that would help them. But at the same token, it's not like UNC or Ohio State's really helping them that much.
We all would have thought that
they are
wins. But now they're like, eh, they are not good.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm not certain. I mean, if they trip up and lose one or two bad games. Which, look, they lost to Georgetown. With all due respect to Georgetown, that would probably be a bad loss by the end of the season. Yeah. I mean, so we'll see. You know, you beat Villanova, you know, changes the conversation. But I don't know. I look at those teams right now, and Nova, again, clearly to me looks like the favorite.
So Denver actually has to go out and not throw away the Big East tournament this season, actually win it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because they might have to, take care of things. The narrative of the season changes a bit if they could beat Nova on the road.
But
if Nova beats them, there's going to be some soul searching, and that probably turns the Big East tournament into a must-win situation. I know the bubble's weak this year, but, you know, that could get a little perilous for Denver. We'll move on. Hofstra breaks out camouflage uniforms, and unfortunately we'll see them for the rest of the season. Disgusting. We're going to see them for the rest of the season because they beat Towson 9-3.
Unbelievable.
So Seth Tierney takes the ship from the captain and says it's his ship now.
And took a sails knife next, just drove
he was the next lives in there, too.
And he just sails along off of the Freeport Marina out into the ocean.
With some expletives.
And Natalie wonders what the hell's going on here, and Astra side to hanging out on the nautical mile before his lift comes to drop him off at the train station to go back to Penn Station to head back to Maryland. That was
the most incredible digression I've ever seen. That is your finest 2 hours, 2 minutes, or 30 seconds, whatever it was, of radio. You're never topping that.
No, that's a long-winded way of saying Hofstra gets a critical colonial game.
That's it. Folks, that is the best 30 seconds or whatever you will ever get out of Ryan McDonald.
St. Joseph's beats Wagner 12-7 in the NEC. UMass beats Drexel 11-10 to open up colonial play on the right direction. So, to reiterate, UMass, Hofstra, and Delaware with wins there at 1-0. Drexel, Towson, and Fairfield with losses there at 0-1. Loyola with a quality win over Colgate in Hamilton, 11-7. So the Greyhounds.
Oh, it's only a quality win if you beat Loyola.
I know. I just like to throw spin it around a little bit. But
3 years. I bet. I guarantee you, no one even knows what we mean by that at this point.
It's true. So Loyola stays in the hunt for the top seed along with a million other teams as they're at 4-1 behind three teams at 5-1. Colgate at 2-3. They're tied for fifth with Army. They hold the tiebreaker, I believe. Yes, they do because they have the win against Army. Binghamton beats Lafayette 15-6 in non-con play. Brown with a two-goal run in the last minute and 30 seconds steals the win over Princeton 14-13. It took Jake 2 hours after this game went final to realize that Princeton blew this.
I'm just like laughing. I'm telling Ryan. Ryan's like, yeah, I know. He's like, oh, well, okay.
Fermer beats Mercer 7-6. So let's run this back here. The Furman Paladins, they are 3-6.
3-6, Mafia.
They are currently the leaders in the SoCon at 3-0.
I love this sport.
God bless you, SoCon lacrosse fever. And then in Ivy League play, Yale doubles up on Penn 12-6. That didn't impress Safe much as he, I think, bumped him down to 9. Granted, right now they're in a dogfight with Bucknell. That one's now tied at 8, so whoa, Yale's got to win that or else they're going to get unranked in his ballot.
So I'd unrank him anyway.
So out of that stretch, I think the big one is Hofstra over Towson, again with Towson's two big suspensions prior to that.
Can we not talk about that? Like,
talk about their actual, like, throw-up jerseys that Hofstra wore in their helmets.
I mean, support the troops. I mean, that's the type of jersey
I get it, but it just looks like...
It's not good. But, I mean, it is something that you would wear while enjoying a some Whiskey Girl wings and downing an American Girl.
Toby Keith,
I love this bar and grill.
Might make an appearance there in Foxborough in May.
We gotta have you try appetizer Whiskey Girl wings, an American Soldier burger with loaded Freedom Fries on the side, and you have to have it with one of those signature drinks, preferably the American Girl or Shockin' Y'all. I mean, there's no other choice.
Wow. Right? Just listen to that. All I just said was wow.
But, yeah, turning to that, I guess we'll talk about the Ivy games. There's also Cornell-Dartmouth. Cornell doubled up Dartmouth, 22-11, ho-hum.
That's a big... Hold on.
Yep. I gotta get the music playing, sorry. That is, once again, Cornell 22, Dartmouth 11.
Now we're about to hit the only game that matters.
Yes. But by God, the big red bury the big green alive.
That's gotta be Jeff T.
Jeff T, the guy that Chris spent all of last year until the Cornell, until the Central New York Derby saying was overrated.
Yes.
And then what happened? But yeah, so in the Ivy race, Yale and Cornell hold serve. So Yale's a 3-0, Cornell a 2-1. The interesting case is now the fluffy middle. So Harvard's at 2-0. Obviously, they didn't play an Ivy League game this weekend with the Albany game midweek. But now it's going to be an interesting race between Harvard, Penn, and with Brown getting that win, they've established themselves in that fifth, in that dogfight for third, fourth, and fifth. I've been using dogfight a lot in this podcast, haven't I?
It's like the last 3 weeks, really, honestly.
Yeah. All right, but
come up with a new phrase.
Man. Yeah. So Harvard, Penn, and Brown are in a quagmire at the moment. We've been kind of hyping up the Ivy League. The middle ground area is going to be very interesting to watch. And whereas Cornell separated itself from the pack, and Yale's definitely separated themselves from the get-go, we now have Brown kind of in the conversation. Penn's an interesting case because Penn's look pretty good, but at the same token, you know, Penn's 5-5. Back-to-back Ivy losses, but they were to Cornell and Yale's specifically, so they've got a little bit of an easier back end to the Ivy League schedule, but they will be playing against Brown and Harvard the next 2 weeks. And Brown will play, Brown already lost to Harvard, so Harvard would hold any tiebreaker, but gonna be an intriguing fight in the middle for the last
Brown,
two spots.
I don't see Brown. I mean, it could, I guess, but you know, I think it's Harvard and Penn after that. Yeah, I mean, what does Brown? How many bones does Brown have right now in Ivy play?
Brown has one. They're 1-1.
Yeah, I think I don't. It's, you know, I Harvard beat Brown, right?
Harvard did indeed beat Brown. But remember, Brown beat Villanova. Harvard,
that's true. They did. You know, they're okay. But I guess it'll come down to the Penn-Brown game, and I think, you know, look, Penn, the thing with Penn, they play 10 games, they play 10 good teams, you know? I mean, no one that Penn has played is, you know, not with the exception of Princeton. That's the only one that, you know, isn't a good team. But other than that, you know, it's 9 good teams in Let's Go. So, yeah, I expect that they'll take care of Brown. I mean, look, it's, you know, the transitive property is not something that matters. But look, Brown was in a dog, had barely beat Princeton, and Penn beat the crap out of him, you know? So, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. You know, it's possible. I think if you had to ask me, it's Harvard and Penn, and the real intrigue is, you know, who gets, you know, the third or the fourth spot, which honestly, I mean, is there really a, you know, sometimes, look, you want to get, you know, the 2-3 matchup because the number one's, you know, clearly the best team. And I think Yale is clearly the best team in the Ivy League. But mm-hmm. it's not like playing Cornell is necessarily any easier than playing Yale. You know, I mean, that was a close game, and Cornell's offense is just unbelievable, just jaw-dropping good. So, yeah, I mean, it's those two teams, really. I mean, if they get to play again, that would be – I'd love to see that game again. You know, could be interesting. I think both of them probably, maybe, you know, Cornell, you know, I still think we have to see. But, you know, mm-hmm. right now they're probably in the NCAA tournament, so
yeah,
it might, you know, just be for seeding or purposes or whatever. But,
yeah, I mean,
I think Harvard and Penn are – better than the rest. Maybe Brown's, you know, better than Princeton Dartmouth. But yeah, I think, I don't know, I mean, it's the intrigue, you know, it looks like there's intrigue on paper, but I think when you really get down to it, those two teams will separate themselves. Then it comes down to the tournament, which, yeah, you know, the Ivy tournament always does kind of throw you for a loop.
But imagine if things hold serve. That Cornell Yale game could be New York City's hottest lacrosse ticket since that year St. John's was good.
When was that?
Was that 2011, 2012? Around that point. Maxime Belmont will add us, and tell us exactly when St. John's was good. They had a good year, too. Vermont beat Hartford 11-7, so the Catamounts remaining in that position for the second seed in the American East Tournament, but they're in the... It's getting pretty interesting for second place in the America East. But Vermont 2-1, 9-1 overall. We'll get to the other teams in a second because it's getting pretty interesting there. See, Monmouth beats Siena 17-8. So Monmouth with a pretty sizable win there in the NEC, of course.
Just a one goal difference would have been magical.
Yes, that could have been some memes. But alas, it wasn't meant to be. And then Monmouth had a little bit of problems earlier, later on in the week. We'll get to that in a little bit. Providence beat St. John's 14-8. Speak of the devil with the Red Storm. The Friars open up Big East play with a victory at home. In Big Ten
remember
play...
Let's not talk about this.
In Big Ten play, Penn State beats Ohio State very manageably, 12-4. So the Nittany Lions grab their opening Big Ten win. And Ohio State, that kind of was their last real shot at turning things around. So things not great there for the Buckeyes. Virginia beats Richmond 14-10 because it was non-conflict. And how many days are we up to without an ACC win?
I believe we are at 1,494.
Going to be so close for 1,500.
Really, it comes down to UNC. This is where we are. It's UNC to see if we can hit 1,500 days.
In Patriot League play, BU's heart gets broken again. Lehigh beats BU 7-6. At Laxapalooza, Mountain Hawks.
Remember when Marissa ranked BU?
Good times.
Remember when Lehigh wasn't any good? Lehigh's at 83, ranked 5-1.
Every team that beats BU isn't any good. This is just how it works.
BU now in 7th, outside looking in the Patriot League at 1-4. In the American East.
I still found the 7th place game in the Patriot League is outside looking in. What a dumb conference.
We love this sport.
We love this sport.
American East. Albany beats Stony Brook 13-7, so the Great Danes remain undefeated. Stony Brook falls to 2-1 in the American East there in a three-way tie for a second with Vermont. And UMass Lowell, who goes ahead and beats UMBC 10-7. Noted MLL factor UNBC, by the way. So the Riverhawks, also looking in pretty good shape. They've got a critical game against Vermont this weekend, which could go a long way in deciding the 2 or 3 seed in the America East when it comes to tournament time.
So what jersey color you get to wear?
Yeah. And who gets to send? Well, Stony Brook might have a word in who's number 2, so... It could be who gets sent to the Albany Great Danes in the first round of things.
It doesn't matter.
They will all die by Albany's grasp.
What is it? Really?
Manhattan beats NJIT 14-6. And in the ACC, Syracuse beats Notre Dame 10-6.
By more than a goal.
Yes, Syracuse, their defense shows up.
Well, I mean, they're playing, the Notre Dame 2007 tribute offense.
Yep. Without Brendan Gleeson. Gleeson, their second-best offensive player, for Ryan Garnes to start.
And let's also just make note in that game that Notre Dame went 0 for 8. EMO opportunities, so... That means we're going to have to play some emo music because it's about emo that EMO is.
0 for 8.
That is unbelievable.
Their offense is like...
You can hear the angst.
They run the Hopkins 2000, mid-2000s offense, except they don't have Paul Rabel or Kyle Harrison.
And nobody can dodge against his own defense.
No, it's just dodge, re-dodge, pass... Maybe someone makes an off-ball cut and we'll find him open. If not, we pass it back up top again. Dodge, re-dodge. You know? I mean, like, there is literally no way their offense can beat a zone defense. I mean, it's just you can't run that offense and beat a zone defense. I mean, with Gleason in there, yeah, you know, it opens some things up. He's a, you know, crafty player, good passer, you know, but it's just their offense. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's like Gleason being out, just it just highlighted their flawed philosophy in their offense. It's not the root cause of it. Did it matter? Yeah. But the problem is they run a flawed offensive system that, you know, no one runs that off. No one runs, you know, everyone gave up on that kind of offense basically once the shot clock came into play. You know? No one runs that kind of offense anymore, at least at the top level, you know? Like some other teams do. But the top, the big boys, Syracuse, Maryland, Hopkins, you know, Duke, everyone else, you know, they're not running this, you know, bland, just spin around, someone dodge, re-dodge, you know, whatever crap, really. I mean, it's just, it's bad to watch, you know? I mean, it's, look, does it work for them? Because, you know, some against, you know, teams that are at an inferior skill level, yeah, because they have a great defense and because they can, you know, suck the air out of the game. The other team won't be on offense a lot. And, yeah, it works there. When you go up against, you know, Syracuse is going to play some zone in there, you know, and who has the same level of athlete that you do, if not better, it could work.
Brian Willits, the only tackman that scored in that game, well, a goal, two goals. First one, good feed from Ryder, third quarter, tied the game at 5. And then the second one was just like a lucky little off a rebound, Domadonna late in the game. Other than that, and Ryder Garney's assist, Mikey Lynn was shooting not anywhere close to the crease area, and he looked like, eh. Even when he shot at the like at his right in front of the crease, he hit the post. And from what I've heard with talking to Anish, Kevin Corrigan's a huge micromanager of the offense and defense. There's no, like, they don't go to, like, a, during, if you watch them during their huddles, there's no offensive coordinator talking to the offense.
Yeah, like, who, do they have an offensive coordinator? I mean, what is,
I think,
what goes on there?
I'm not sure if they, Burns the defensive coordinator by far. I think you already know that. I don't know if
Matt Carwick, who is,
yeah,
Matt Carwick, I think his name is on staff. I believe he's sort of the offensive coordinator, but it's, yeah, like,
Corrigan is pretty much Mike, the Mac micromanager of this offense and defense. He pretty much,
look, it just everything. It looks, I mean, look, Kevin Corrigan's won a lot of games, been to a lot of Final Fours. So I love that. He's a good coach. There's no disputing that. But I mean, this game really just a huge on that system and their staff, really. I mean, because it was, it's just, come on, 8 extra man. Like, they just get extra mans over and over and over again. You know?
Pete Morelli was reffing the game.
And they just and they just did nothing with it. I mean, look, give credit to Syracuse. Syracuse, you know, Nick Mellon did a really good job on Ryder Garnsey. You know, they did some, you know, they were physical. You know, they imposed their will. Yeah, they looked better. They've looked better on defense the last couple weeks. They made some good adjustments. But this game, to me, was just about, it's just ugly. It just doesn't work. You know, look, will it get you in the tournament? Probably. You know, will it maybe win you a game? Probably. But, like, when push comes to shove, I'm not even saying you have to play fast. You know, I'm not saying you have to play fast. I'm not saying you have to, you know, go turn into Virginia or something. You know, but it's, I mean, look at the other offense, like Maryland. You know, Maryland played slow for a while, but Maryland moves the ball, you know, quick, you know, moves the ball very well, you know, pass it well to find a good look. You know, they incorporate a lot of different parts of the offense, you know. Other offensive stuff, Denver, you know, when they're at their best, incredible ball movement, you know, always finding the best shot. You know, or even like Ohio State, and they played, so when they played last year, you know, a lot of great dodgers. Notre Dame is just, they play slow, and that only amplifies it. Because, you know, if you move in transition, if they push in transition the way, you know, they used to do when they had Kavanaugh, you know, that would give you an extra element, you know, give you something different to work with, you know, despite the fact that the 6-on-6 offense is poor. But they don't even push it in transition. I mean, it's anemic. It's just, it's bad.
Yep. Looking at their schedule.
No, I don't want to make it seem like, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to, I'll continue.
Go ahead.
Okay, I didn't know you were continuing, but
no.
Looking at their schedule so far, they haven't really had a really, like, big dominant win at all. Maybe their best win was Denver, and now we're looking at seeing in Denver, it's like, well, it might not be
a, no, I mean, if we're talking,
it's still a good win, but
if we're talking tournament, they're in the tournament. That's yeah, not up for.
Yeah, and I mean, remember Notre Dame.
But I'm just commenting on like how like they haven't really dominated in most of their games.
Oh no, they have not looked good really.
I mean that's part of it. Yeah, part of it's part of their style that makes them not really be able to pull away from other teams. But at the same token, they have looked not themselves at points in the season.
I mean, Detroit Mercy and Richmond. I mean,
what do we mean by not themselves? Because this just looks like who they are.
Well, I'm saying not themselves compared to past years where they could execute it as cleanly.
That's fair, I guess. You know, I mean, but no, I mean, look, it's a question like you don't have to play fast, you know, to pull away from teams. Maryland plays slower than anyone in the country. They pull away from teams easily. You know, it's so no. The problem is just it's quite simply that. They are on offense. They're easy to game plan for. That's the thing. There's nothing that they are that you know. You look at it, it's like you know what you're gonna get. You know, and it's very easy to and look. Syracuse always game plans well, and I don't think Syracuse had to go to the zone in this game, but the fact that they did just proved they knew. Or if we just do this, they're not gonna. They've got nothing for us. It's nothing's gonna happen if we do this. And so, yeah, I mean, look, again, you know, like the other thing, they got Marquette. Like, yeah, this kind of thing will take care of Marquette, you know. It won't be pretty, but, yeah, I'll probably take care of Marquette, you know, pretty easily. But anyone else, I mean, look, you think of that North Carolina, the way North Carolina will sit in a zone.
That's all they play is zone. Yeah, they're like Jim Boeheim, Lord Lacrosse.
Yeah, I mean, North Carolina at this point is all they're playing is strictly zone. And you wonder, I mean, you know, I think North Carolina is different, I think. I mean, I think you can still get them, you know. But, I mean, still, even then, you look at Notre Dame, you know, the face-off play is inconsistent. That's how, you know, you beat UNC is you win a lot of face-offs. Because, you know, and then you tire the defense out. But, so yeah, that game, I mean, it looks a little more when you consider the style. You know, styles make fights, as they say. You know, that game looks really interesting now.
Yeah, so, I mean... Mike and now Syracuse looking though 3-0 in ACC play after. That's quite something given how awful they looked against Albany and Hopkins and how they let the game against Rutgers slip away. They made the correction course that they needed to make, to say the least, and going to be a very fun one next week in Ithaca against Cornell in the Central New York Derby.
Start the season.
You guys made fun of me a couple weeks ago, but guess what? I know. It's because Syracuse was looking awful then. Who would have seen this coming?
We made fun of you because we all agreed that Syracuse. We didn't think Syracuse was beating Duke Notre Dame. No, like obviously now the game looks big because you know.
Well, in addition to that, give credit to Cornell's doing what they've done too.
No, Cornell's look good, but I'm saying, you know, the point was, you know, now Syracuse, with they racked up two great wins at Duke and Notre Dame, also have, you know, Virginia on there as well as a decent, good win. Now, yeah, you know, it looks like it's a big, you know, with luster. Feels like it's, you know, 2013 again, you know. But if Syracuse had lost these two games and was sitting outside the top 20 at, like, 3-6 or whatever, you know, that'd be a little different. I mean, that's what we all assumed, that they weren't being Duke and Notre Dame. And of course, they've done this a lot recently. What, it's like the third different year and lost like five. They've all freaked out and lost their minds, you know, that they're battling the season, you know, they turn it around. You know, I mean, at some point, look, you know, even want to talk about maybe they want to start better, you know, in the year, but they figure it out.
When pretty much, I'd say when Albany steamed Syracuse's hams and Hopkins went in there and beat the Orange and that whole Rutgers thing, I think that was kind of Syracuse's fall ball, you know, just getting.
Yeah,
that's their personality. That could be true.
Yeah, because I've been downplaying that football is not necessarily the end all be all, but it might have been. I see where you're getting at that, where maybe it did play a big role.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't get any practice really for. And look, this is a young team. Mm-hmm. You know, look, remember they lost a lot of. They're three best offensive players all left last year. They're actually, well, let's be honest with ourselves. They're what? They're four best players, five. They lost. Salcido,
Mariano,
Evans, Furman, Ben Williams, Paolo Seferi. That's what? Yeah. That's like
Joe Gellis.
That's your six or seven best
players. You lost your entire starting defensive midfielders.
Yeah, that's that's like, look, short stick D midi is really the most under-talked about thing in the game as far as important positions. It is, and Seferi was a terrific guy. So was, and Gillis was a really good player too. So that's like one weakness I think they have on their team, but they're not the only one. You know, Maryland's got pretty troubling short stick D midi defense as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, when you think about it, look, it's fall ball, you know. I mean, it's not like, look, if you lose games in fall ball, that doesn't mean you're going to, you know, it's not like spring training, you know. Like, just because you hit over in spring training doesn't mean you're, you know, not going to be great, you know, once the actual stuff comes around. But when you were Syracuse and you were working in a whole bunch of new guys, and you also didn't have, again, as we've talked about, you know, no alpha male guy to step up, and, you know, you're kind of relying on playing a lot of guys, yeah, that, you know, having those reps matters. And the fact that they didn't have them, yeah, probably played a role in the fact that they, you know, got curb stomped with it at Albany and Hopkins. Maybe they wouldn't have beat them even with it, but I think if they had, you know, it wouldn't have been, you know, the embarrassing losses that they were.
Real quick before we move on to the end of the week games, Penn State, Ohio State.
Yikes.
Yeah, that is a beatdown, and that's not good news
not
at all.
Close.
Nowhere near close, yeah. That's not what the Buckeyes needed. They needed some. Buckeyes have now lost 5 out of their last 6. And, I mean, Michigan's not even as much of a winnable game as it is anymore. So
I don't see them winning a game in Big Ten play.
Ooh.
I don't. If you had asked me, you know, like, look, athletically, Michigan could play with them. Mentally, it would be the question with Michigan. That was the thing with Maryland this week. Mentally, they weren't ready to take that step. But it's different mentally to play Maryland than it is to play an Ohio State team that's, you know, backwards. You know? I think we can all agree they're not going to be Maryland, Hopkins, or Rutgers.
Yeah, I can agree with that. It was Hopkins and Maryland on the road.
Yeah, I just don't. Those games are blowouts. So, yeah, I mean, it comes down to that Michigan game. And, no, I mean, I still like Michigan, even though, you know, again, definitely we saw this was kind of like, you know, this is the learning curve game. You know, Maryland's the measuring stick, and they obviously don't measure up yet. But, look, yeah, I mean, that's a rivalry game, you know, and Michigan's going to want that one bad. And I don't see them winning a game in Big Ten play. You know, I mean, even if they do, it's not going to get them in the tournament. In the conference tournament, that is.
Oh yeah, I think the thing
for
with Michigan,
State, this was a big W. Not that you know, beating Ohio State, it's necessarily going to look great on your schedule at the end of the year, but against the 1-0 in Big Ten play, they looked very good. The defense was great.
Mm-hmm.
If this team can get Grant Amon back, I think they may back and really get that offense humming. Like it, you know, it looked good, but there's still definitely a different level when he's there. If they can get him back, I do think this is a team that could compete with Maryland and, you know, Hopkins at the top of the Big Ten. If they can get fully healthy, I do think they can reach that level. This week was big. You know, they've never beaten Maryland. Well, I mean, they claim they did once.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Penn's, I forget where I saw it. I don't know who brought it up. But
Mark Dixon brought it up.
Oh, yeah, Mark Dixon brought it up. Penn State claims 2 lacrosse victories over Maryland. Maryland does not claim any losses. God, I love this sport.
So, yeah, this weekend, yeah.
I mean, granted, college football teams did all sorts of shenanigans in the early 20th century, too, but God, I love this sport.
So, yeah, you know, like, they don't have to beat Maryland necessarily, you know. Now, if they do, that completely changes the entire season for them. But, look, if they can play well in that game, you know, compete with them, go back and forth a little, they get Hopkins at home, you know. That's I think Hopkins is the week after Maryland, so that's in 2 weeks. They get that game at home. That's going to be a big game for them. See, I like what I saw from them. It is still a sham. Like, I think if they had Ament, you know, the entire year, I think a couple of those losses they had would be turned into wins. But yeah, this puts them back in the conversation. They're not there yet, but they're in the conversation. And obviously, you know, that Penn State Michigan game probably going to decide who gets that last spot in the tournament.
I think with the Michigan game for Ohio State is mentally for Michigan. I think they will know that this, with how they've been playing, this is our time to finally beat Ohio State. And I definitely think they can do that. And especially the fact that they'll be in the Horseshoe, which is one of the worst games to play on TV, right before the spring game. A lot of things are in play with this entire game altogether. I think Michigan, they had a really good first half.
They were showing it was they were competing there.
Yeah, and then early on the second half,
some problems, but it was obvious that Maryland, you know, like Michigan made a lot of turnovers in this game, a lot of turnovers.
Yes,
that's the kind of stuff that tells you, you know, they aren't quite there. Like athletically, and you know, as far as skill wise, they're no less than Maryland is, you know. But Maryland's been there and done that, and Michigan hasn't, and so that was the difference. So we'll have to see. Like that Ohio State game, Michigan beating Ohio State this year is just as important to them as beating Notre Dame was.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even more so, honestly. If they can be, it doesn't matter that Ohio State's not, you know, as good as they were last year. They can finally beat Ohio State and then get that, you know, a Big Ten win, you know, for the first time in 3 years. I think for them, honestly, it would feel like their first Big Ten win, really. You know, even though they beat Rutgers a couple years ago. And I think this, I think that would be just as, you know, big for them as beating Notre Dame was. So
I think it's bigger
for the Buck. Yeah, no, probably is. I mean, for them,
probably is. Probably. That shows them, like, hey, we're in the big. We can finally say that we're kind of competing in the Big Ten.
Yeah, no, it's no longer that, you know, the Big Ten is the best conference, but also Michigan. It's, you know, Michigan's a factor as well. And so, yeah, and for the Buckeyes, you know, I mean, look, you know, they've kind of been in every other year team under Nick Myers, but still, the, you know, the ignominy of going from national runner up to going over in Big Ten, that would be pretty bad.
Huge implications.
Speaking of the Big Ten, in the season premiere of Sunday Night Lacrosse, which came and risen back from the dead on Easter Sunday.
God bless.
The reason for the season is Beninati and Dixon back on our television sets. Tell me if you heard this one before, though. Rutgers suffers a heartbreaking Big Ten defeat. Johns Hopkins, 13, Rutgers, 12. The Blue Jays with a last-minute goal gets the victory there. So Hop starts off this Big Ten play with a win. Rutgers with a loss. The good news is it probably won't be as much of a heartbreaker come Selection Sunday as it would have been in the prior 2 years. We'll just wrap up the rest of the games before recapping all these. Lafayette 11, Monmouth 10. That's right, the Lafayette Leopards won a non-con game against Monmouth, no less, in West Long Branch.
Ryan's second favorite lacrosse team, Monmouth.
Yep.
Spent the weekend there.
Had a nice weekend there.
We're really digging into the old memory.
That pretty awesome diner there in a strip mall in Long Beach Branch.
Wow.
That a great Brazilian all-you-can-eat buffet place.
Brazilian
great meat.
Buffet?
A Brazilian meat.
Brazilian buffet.
That was great in Long Beach. Yep, Long Branch, New Jersey, baby. Good eats on the ocean.
Can't wait for the College Cross official trip to Monmouth. To find this Brazilian.
College Cross game day, live in Monmouth.
Live in Monmouth. The West Long Branch travelogue that you... It's a really nice campus there, too. They got a nice little like condominium section that's like a mini village of sorts. They got a nice underpass that you walk under to get to the campus and everything. Real nice college. In the battle for the Cross Simmons Trophy, otherwise known as the Northern Finger Lakes Derby, Syracuse 11, Hobart 4. So the Bizarro,
well, as the Daily Orange puts it, Syracuse barely beat.
That's fine. God, I love how the Daily Orange just has a complete digression.
By the way, that kid is in one of my classes I have tomorrow, so I'll be ripping off.
Yeah, they. I feel like the sports department. Yeah, the sports department of the DO is always so cynical about Syracuse athletics. There was one guy when I was there. He's a good writer, and I think he's with the Post Standard now. But he was admittedly a UConn fan. And B, he just like tore the football team a new a-hole, Boeheim a new a-hole all the time. It was
Stephen
like
Bailey?
So funny. Yes, but I believe him.
I mean, let's be honest with this. I mean,
he's a good guy.
This is why the Big East died. Having a UConn fan go to Syracuse.
No, he's a good kid. We have a Nova fan at Syracuse that we're talking to right now.
That's a little different.
No, but he is a good kid and a good writer. But it was just so funny that like he completely bashed Boeheim on a regular basis in the DO. It was kind of hilarious.
Did he ever say Fire Desco in the new DO?
No, we
column?
Have never had a DO column that was all Fire Desco. Does the DO writer now call for Desco's head?
No, because I don't think they know the meme.
Barely got by Hobart.
Yeah, they barely got by Hobart.
Yeah, just getting by in a dominant performance. Yeah, so the DO, great writing, but it's like they're always so cynical about Syracuse athletics. It's just kind of funny. But anyway, Syracuse 11, Hobart 4, so the Bizarro World. Bizarro World, Krauss-Simmons trophy battle did not go to Bizarro World for once. In the vast range of LIE exits derby, the LIE exit in the 20s versus LIE exit 65. Stony Brook wins 8-6. And just wrapping up now, in a game that will make Safe jump for joy because his narrative is proven somewhat correct.
Roars emanating from Trent, New Jersey.
Yeah. That sound you just heard was not a freight train going by the What Trenton Makes the World Takes bridge. It was Safe, exuberant about the fact that his narrative is somewhat correct now. Bucknell.
Let's never mind that Bucknell is a good team.
Yes, even though Bucknell is on some of our top 20s.
Not his.
Bucknell 9, Yale 8 in overtime. Once again, one goal game in overtime. That'll be enough to make Yale unranked this week. Fourth best team in the Ivy. At best, the number four team in the Ivy now.
Go all in. Why not?
Go big or go home, Safe. And by go home, I mean hurry up, movers. Safe's been hanging around too long.
Another reason why Yale denied Safe from law school.
This is the best new meme that we've
created. This is one thing. What is it, like post hoc, ergo, proctor hoc, you know? Where it's like he's going to say that now he was right, even though, like, actually at the time, he wasn't actually right.
Correct.
Like, there was no case to rank Yale number 9 on Sunday.
Right. But now there is, but at the same token, you can't do that.
There was no case to rank them number 9, but now he's going to be like, oh, it's totally justified. It was right all along.
Right, no, that's not how you rank Safe. It's what you've done now, not what could happen. I could put John Topkins at number 20 thinking that they're going to lose out in the Big 10, but they're not. Even though I hate Hopkins, they're really good, so I'm ranking them top 5.
Unbelievable.
I love this sport.
I really do.
So, yeah, I guess out of that bunch, Hopkins, again, speaking of Hopkins, with great victories.
Awesome.
Very hard to go into Piscataway and come away with a win, and they did just that in a
first time in over 3 years that Rutgers lost a home game to a team that wasn't Maryland.
Wow.
First time it was 3 years. Last one was actually Princeton. That was, I think, like March 17 of 2015. That was the last time Rutgers lost a home game to a team that wasn't Maryland. And they had been on a roll against everyone else except, you know, the Terps. And look, this was really just an awesome game. Just a great game. Both teams played great. I know Rutgers fans are mad about the Cole Williams, whether the shot clock expired or not. I get it. Especially in a one-goal game, but really just a great game. I think both teams, like, they played that game 10 times. I think it's 5-5, even split. Mm-hmm. Both those teams are right there next to each other. And Hopkins, just really impressive. They've just looked, really good. They're not great starters. And I think that's been a thing that's, kind of been a problem for them for the last, couple of years. But they've just got a lot of guys on offense. Like, Cole Williams was awesome. I mean, really, just really great. I remember I tweeted out, he needed to kind of show a different move beside, the dodge from X and try to get topside finish with the left hand, because defense has kind of been playing that. And so what he does, he comes up with 3 goals all in different ways and 3 assists as well, I think. He was great. Kyle Moore, we get from him. Same with Shaq Stanwyck. But they got different contributions. That offense is really good. That defense shows some good stuff as well. Brock Turnbull, this was like one of Brock Turnbull's, worst games, at least in the first half. And Hopkins was still able to come away with the win. I think that's a really encouraging sign for them. Rutgers, look great as well. There's really not much to say about this game besides, I mean, you could talk, again, great game, obviously. But as far as, analysis, it was just two great teams playing a great game, and Hop got the better of it.
Also shows that maybe Rutgers does deserve, finally, an at-large bid.
I think we'll see what happens.
I don't think there's a way that the NCAA could screw them over this time.
No, if you look at it, they beat Syracuse, and that'll be a great win by the end of the year. You know, Lehigh, that could be a good win as well by the end of the year. Look, the Princeton loss is bad. You know, that's not, that might, you maybe, I don't know, maybe deny him a seed. You know, but
they'll definitely no. be it.
No, yeah, and I think
Army's like, eh, now.
But yeah, but the thing is, yeah, Rutgers should be able to tally some more Big Ten wins than they have.
Yeah, no, if they should beat Ohio State, they should beat Michigan. Look, if you beat Penn State and Michigan, those are not great wins per se.
But I
those
think they'll beat Penn State. They'll be the 3 seed.
Yeah, I think that would be the case. Look, you beat Penn State, you beat Michigan. Those are two, maybe not great wins, but those could be two top 20 RPI wins. Mm-hmm. You know, those count for something. So, yeah, I think Rutgers will be, again, you know, they have kind of, you know, fallen off. I mean, even still, even with the fact they've fallen off, the only reason they didn't make the tournament was because Bill Tierney threw the Big East tournament the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise they would have been in. So, no, I think this, they should be in that conversation. They played great. You know, could have got the win on another day. Just a really, really, really great game.
Alrighty, we'll move on to the top 20 polls, which is now outdated because Safe doing his poll from the future with his crystal ball ended up actually happening.
And because we've got people in our poll who aren't even voting.
Yeah, our poll hasn't even been posted yet. I don't know if we should blame Safe's move or with Chris.
I'm really sorry. Like, genuinely, I'm sorry that we have been honestly just derelict in getting the poll up in a timely fashion. There's really no reason why the poll should be going up at Thursday or Friday. You know? I mean, it's supposed to be Monday, or Tuesday's fine, but really, we got to do better.
At Marissa and Skyler.
Yeah.
Ish together right now.
Honestly, I'll say to anyone right now, just send me your poll, and I'll put it in the thing. Just DM me it. I will put it in the thing. Just DM me it, and I will put it in for you. Like, but come on, we can't be having this put the poll up on Thursday.
So, should we even bother doing our polls and just read off the regular media poll? Because we don't even have it anywhere close to an aggregate.
I'm just doing the media, I guess.
Let's just do media.
Yeah, sorry, College Cross Poll. You're completely irrefutable this week. Albany 1, Maryland 2, Yale at 3. Now they might go down to where Safe had them, whereas Safe, especially now that Safe will unrank them.
Safe will have them at 34.
Yeah, Safe will unrank them. Barely ahead of Princeton, just on head-to-head, and that will cause Yale to drop to, like, 13th in the media poll. Denver 4, Hopkins 5, Duke 6, Nova 7th, Cuse 8, Rutgers 9, Cornell 10, Loyola 11, Notre Dame 12, Virginia 13, Bucknell 14, Penn State 15, so is Vermont, Lehigh 17, Michigan 18, and Harvard and Robert Morris tie at 19. Also receiving votes, Penn, Navy, Hofstra. For the love of God, there are people still voting for UNC.
Who then?
Georgetown, Colgate, UMass, Bryant, Army,
Marshall. Georgetown. Who's voting for Georgetown? Seriously, like, really. The ballots need to be made public.
Yes.
Yeah.
They just do. Honestly, there's no reason you...
Like, we clown around about Safe putting Yale at 9, but at least
but
Safe
his ballot's public.
It's public, we're transparent, you can at least add us and make fun of us, because
yeah,
we're open.
Yeah, we can have a discussion. But people coming out here ranking UNC and Georgetown, come on.
Imagine ranking UNC at 11, just because they're in a documentary that you produce.
Unbelievable.
God, I love this sport. elimination. I don't even think we should care about the elimination pool because half the people in it aren't even.
Safe hasn't done it yet, even though he did his poll. Marissa hasn't done anything.
Honestly, they should be eliminated.
Yeah, Safe should be eliminated just for the Yale at 9 before they did. But, everyone that picked last week moved on once again because there's no drama in this thing. I picked Monmouth versus NJIT. So we'll have to see with that. Jake's moving on because you picked Syracuse against Hobart.
Oh, yeah, I did.
And Chris, remember, got eliminated for picking Delaware against Mercer. So.
In a week, they lost twice.
Ryan, I cannot believe you picked Monmouth to beat NJIT and not Lafayette. I'm just disappointed in that.
Oh, well.
No, like, Ryan's, like, picking against NJIT every week.
Or Dartmouth, yeah. It's like, yeah, let's pick against Dartmouth. Because it's just like your NFL elimination pool. Oh, you're playing the Browns this week? I'm picking you.
We tried.
Yeah.
Better than the fantasy league.
Yeah, these things are falling apart, but they're lasting longer than the fantasy league, so.
Which literally lasted 0 weeks.
Did anybody even take score of anything?
No. We didn't have the document.
One week. No one could
find the document.
No, Jim Simmons was the document guy, and he never updated it.
But then he yelled at us because he claimed he posted in the now defunct group message.
Oh yeah, we got rid of the group message too. Everything's just falling apart because everyone was just talking too much in that. And then, I'm looking up at my phone at work, and it's like 76 new messages. What the hell? And then I look, and it's like everybody's arguing with one another. It's like, okay.
Behind the scenes, it's not rosy in College Cross HQ right now.
Yes,
correct. Besides the fact that SB Nation is finally paying me. Besides that,
I don't think I'm getting a raise, but that's okay because I didn't get taxed an IRS form last year, so maybe that's okay.
Anyway, we've gone way too off.
Way too off. On to this week's games.
Picks and games.
Well, let's first go through the schedule of this week's games.
Do we want to do the bracketology thing, or is it just too early to do it?
Let's mention it.
Let's mention it.
Why the hell not?
I'll go find it.
I have it up already.
You do? Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Okay, so this should not come as a surprise.
This is from the god Pat
Stevens. Yeah, the god Pat Stevens.
Yes.
And for the RPI from the NCAA, I believe, is coming out next week.
Yeah, Black's Power RPI is being used for this one. So here we go. The eight seeded teams. Number one, obviously, Albany. Number two, obviously, Maryland. Number three, now maybe lower than nine in safe's poll, Yale. So there goes that. Syracuse is four. Hopkins is five. Villanova is six. Then Notre Dame is seven. And then Cornell is eight. And then the first unseeded team playing Cornell will be Duke, followed by, in reverse order, Denver, Rutgers, Penn, Loyola, UMass, lol, Brian, and then the winner of Furman Canisius in the playing game.
So 3-6 Furman.
My take is just simply this. I don't know if this is going to happen, but just you need to mention this. The possibility of a Hopkins, Syracuse, Maryland, and Notre Dame quarterfinal set in Annapolis. Now we're talking attendance, baby.
Just which like my means, freshman year, means, my which, freshman which year, means, except with North Carolina instead of Notre Dame.
That was great too, which means that Maryland will go to Hempstead, and instead of Annapolis,
and Albany's going to Annapolis. Albany Cornell with all the Long Islanders that go to Albany and Cornell. It'll be in Annapolis or Albany Duke with all the Duke players from Long Island. Annapolis. No, if Syracuse gets moved up to the three.
Yeah, me and Ron were talking about this. It's like how bad the NCAA really is sometimes at maximizing attendance.
Yeah. If Syracuse moves up to the three slot, they'll get it moved into the Hofstra bracket likely, because I think that was just because Yale would be the northern team, so that makes sense there. Even though, Syracuse would be the higher seed, but gets sent to the advantageous for Hopkins. So we got a long ways to go.
Long way to go.
I was talking with Chase.
Last year, we should have been to Hempstead.
Yes, and you were like, no, we need Wawa! And that's why we got stuck with that and losing to Towson.
That is true. I actually didn't.
You can't get Princeton on the schedule, but you got to go to Wawa, so we're going to Delaware.
Only facts. But there's also Royal Farms in Maryland, but not really
Royal Farms is great. I love Royal Farms.
There you go.
Royal Farms, great chicken. If y'all never had Royal Farms, you're really missing out.
I haven't had the chicken yet, but there's apparently one like 10 minutes away from my house.
Unbelievable, Chris. Really? It's unbelievable.
Wow.
No, but Jake and I were like joking around that like the only two times where they ever did this smartly was 2009 when they sent Syracuse, Maryland, and Cornell Princeton to Hofstra. Sort of 2014 with Bryant, Maryland, and Albany, Notre Dame. It would have been better if Syracuse didn't choke in the first round. And then what was the other one? The Annapolis one with Maryland?
2012, and it was Loyola, Maryland, and Hopkins along Annapolis.
Those are the 2.5 times where the NCAA got it right.
Yeah.
So
what about 2015 too? Hopkins and Syracuse.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, that was
a good one too. Yeah.
All right, that's enough for
so the Greens. Yeah,
I know some of y'all, some of y'all don't like when we talk about it before, like May.
Yeah, and so the Dane train's heading to Annapolis. Everybody,
that turf.
Get your tickets now.
So this week's games, because we got, you know, we're free from the shackles of college basketball NCAA tournament time, and now it's lacrosse's time to shine. We still got to deal with the Frozen Four, but...
Oh, that this weekend?
Yeah, Frozen Four is this weekend. There's Notre Dame, right, Michigan tomorrow.
No quit, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, Michigan, Notre Dame. Can't wait for those two Twitter fan bases to pretend that they know anything about hockey.
God damn, that's a heavy shot.
All right. Yeah. Now, keep in mind that some of these games are probably going to be moved because there's snow in the forecast.
Like Towson Drexel.
Yeah, Towson Drexel has already been moved to Friday, so that's Drexel at Towson. That's now on Friday. We got Robert Morris at Hobart at noon. This is Saturday. High Point at Furman at noon. Air Force at Jacksonville at noon. That won't get snowed out because it's in Duval. And a Big Ten play, Ohio State at Hopkins at noon on the U. Are you ready for the uncreative scheduling part? Because the following games are all at 1 o'clock.
Let's do it.
VMI Mercer, Marquette St. John's, Wagner Bryan, Stony Brook Princeton, UMass Delaware, Harvard Cornell. That should be a good one.
UMass Delaware, big game for CAA play.
That too, so two good ones there. Manhattan Quinnipiac, Bellarmine Richmond, Binghamton Hartford, NJIT Monmouth in the Jersey Coast Derby, Yale Dartmouth, UMass Lowell Vermont, which actually will determine who's number two in the America East.
Holy crap.
Sacred Heart St. John's, Marist Siena in the I-87 Derby, Loyola Lehigh in Patriot League play. That will might
big
determine
one.
Yeah, that could determine who's leading the Patriot League when all is said and done. Hampton, Cleveland State, two of the youngest programs in D1 will face off. And Lafayette, Holy Cross. Way to spread out your game's athletic departments.
The good thing is very few of those games are actually good, so.
Yeah. Loyola. Very good game.
That could be a good game. Brown Penn in the Ivy League at 1:30. Big East game of the year, Denver Villanova, 2 o'clock.
In the suburbs, not actually Philadelphia.
Correct, that you're playing in the suburbs. I love that, that after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, nobody's pretending to give a crap about this parade tomorrow for Nova.
I am, but I'm not even going to be at the parade.
Albany at Notre Dame MLL Factory, UMBC at 3 in the America East. Providence at Georgetown, Big East at 3. Army at BU at 3:15. That's actually creative scheduling, making it 3:15. Can BU beat a team in the Patriot League? We'll see.
Probably, because Army's not that good.
Duke at Notre Dame at 4 on ESPNU.
Big crowd expected, over 5,000.
Of course, yes,
cold as hell. So.
But apparently it's almost a sellout already, so if you're in the South Bend area and want to catch
some
blacks,
over 5,000 already.
Get them as you can. Colgate at Navy, 5:30 on CBS Sports Network.
Lol.
I think that's the first game CBS Sports Network's airing this year. Maybe it's
second. No, actually, they did Loyola Navy.
Love just airing Navy and Army and nothing else from that conference.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Because they had it's all about the troops, baby. The most critical game in ACC lacrosse history.
Yes, maybe. I mean,
the game of the week.
Biggest game, with the exception of Syracuse Cornell, perhaps the biggest game there's ever been.
Virginia at North Carolina at 6, ACC Network Extra. Will Virginia go over 1,500 days without an ACC men's lacrosse win? The only game since then that they've won against an ACC school was North Carolina in the 5-6 game, which does not count.
That doesn't count.
No, it does not.
So we shall see.
The person who runs the day since UVA last won an ACC game, he made the ruling that didn't count, and I listened to him. So
yes. And then we got three schools that actually listened to our idea of Saturday night lacrosse.
Assuming they don't get moved.
Right, assuming they don't get moved, one of which Fairfield and Hofstra, well, there's 3 to 5 inches of snow in the forecast, so we'll see. But they play at 7. Mount St. Mary's at Bucknell at 7, and Detroit Mercy at Canisius at 7. Then on Sunday, we got a pair of a pair of Big Ten games at noon on ESPNU. It's Michigan at Rutgers. And it's 7 on Sunday Night Lacrosse on Big Ten Network. At the same time as the Masters final rounds wrapping up and WrestleMania is starting. So this is much to the chagrin of one Jake Nassar.
Killing me.
Maryland at Penn State, 7 o'clock. BTN with Beninati and Dixon. Presumably, because the Caps are not playing. So, yeah. And then Tuesday night, we got Princeton at Siena at 3. Loyola at Georgetown at 3.
The game of the year.
The game of the year. Central New York Derby.
End all games.
Syracuse at Cornell at the Kopf, 7 o'clock. Buy some extra hot cocoa while you're there, because it does get cold in Ithaca every year at that Tuesday night game. 7 o'clock.
Probably. Yeah, it's like, that game was always cold.
It's always freezing. It's always a fun time, but it's always freezing at that game. I'm guessing the Ivy League Digital Network, in its last gasp, will make you pay $10 to watch that game.
Oh, my God. I would. Unbelievable.
Rest in peace.
Robert Morris at Canisius at 7. And Dartmouth at UMass Lowell at 7:30. And Wednesday, 7 o'clock on Fox Sports Network, meaning one of those probably Fox College Sports Networks that no one gets. Notre Dame at Marquette at 7.
Also, want a quick shout-out to John Tarodesco for buying a monthly pass, a Cornell monthly pass for the Ivy League Digital Network. So,
the big day.
Details will be following the DMs.
What a guy.
Great job, Coach Desco. Thank you very much. So let's do some pick 'em.
Let's go.
Ohio State Hopkins, we're all going to Hopkins, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, is that game not airing on ESPNU or is it?
It is on ESPNU.
It is.
Okay.
Wait, are we doing our freaking upset picks? Upset alert?
Oh, yeah, it's upset picks first. Yeah, upset
okay,
picks.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go upset
picks. For Safe, since Safe is not here, he picks that Notre Dame will be Duke.
Yes. Probably we'll pick Dartmouth over Yale out of nowhere, too.
Probably. I'm going to go with... Once again, this is not easy. I'm going to go UMass Lowell beats Vermont.
That's a pretty good one. That's a good one.
Okay.
Before you say it, Lehigh over Loyola does not count.
No, I'm going to say Michigan over Rutgers.
Not bad.
Ooh. I'm going to go with...
Now that would throw the Big Ten for a loop.
I'm going to go with...
Cornell over Syracuse does not count either.
I'm not making that my upset pick. I'm gonna go maybe Drex over Towson isn't really an upset pick anymore with the suspensions, right?
No.
Then give me Notre Dame over Duke count.
Yeah, sure.
That's a safe upset pick.
It's a safe one, but Notre Dame's outside the top 10, so.
Yeah, we'll Notre Dame over Duke. It's going to be a good crowd. Both teams are doing a little soul searching, but I think Notre Dame has a little less question. It's questioning themselves a little bit less than Duke.
Do you really think so?
Not really, but give me the Irish home field advantage.
I don't know if Duke can. I mean, if Duke plays good defense, they should win that game handily. But we'll see.
All right, Harvard Cornell. I'll go with the Big Red.
Big Red Machine.
It's got to be Kane. Cornell.
Loyola Lehigh.
I'm going to go Lehigh.
I've been on this Lehigh bandwagon all year. I ain't quitting now.
I like Lehigh, but I'm going to go Loyola, I think. Quality win for Loyola. Brown Penn.
It'll be a really quality win for Lehigh.
Yes. Brown Penn. I'll go with Penn.
Penn.
Although I might be at that game.
UMass Lowell. UMass Lowell versus Vermont. That was an upset special of Jake's, right? Yeah, but I'm going to go with Vermont in that one.
I'm going to go UMass Lowell as well.
Denver Villanova. I'm going Wildcats.
in a champagne Villanova.
I can't believe you're going to Penn Brown instead of going out to the
Burbs. Well, my good high school friend, Steve Hudak, plays on Brown.
Gotcha.
So. Oh, really? Wow, that guy's a good player.
Yeah, went to LaSalle College High School. Mm-hmm. Home of Matt Rambo.
How about that?
Duke Notre Dame. I said Notre Dame.
Duke.
Dukey.
Colgate Navy.
Navy's been, you know, they've been pushing it lately. And, but they're at home. Yeah, I'll go Navy. But, yeah, I mean, they've been towing that line lately. They've had some, that Holy Cross game was not pretty.
Let's, like, blow up the Patriot League. Let's go Colgate.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Navy in that one, but that's going to be a tough one. Virginia versus UNC. I'm going to say this streak ends here. UVA.
No!
On principle, I can't pick against the streak. I got UNC. UNC. It's got to happen.
Jake, I know you love this streak so much. And
Chris, don't do this to me. No.
Whoever made the day since UVA Twitter account.
Imagine how that guy's doing.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
Imagine how that guy's going to be on Saturday.
But I can't believe it's
got to be Dixon, right?
I just can't believe I'm going to have to do this. And for my love.
Dang you, you.
That's why I'm going for UNC, baby.
Hey!
1,500 freaking days and counting. Add another 300. And we're close to 2,000. Screw 1,500. The run to 2,000 begins on Saturday.
I love that we're completely counting out Duke against UVA.
Oh, come on, man.
And
last time UVA beat Duke, I didn't even watch college across.
Michigan Rutgers, that was Chris's upset special, but I'm going to go with Rutgers.
Yeah, I'll take Rutgers, too. It could be a good game, though.
Maryland Penn State, I'll go with the Terps.
Terps.
Turtles.
And the Central New York Derby, the game where we could analyze and dissect Syracuse and Cornell's resumes.
We might do a whole podcast just on this game.
We might do a live pod during the game.
And well, why not? Why not? Yeah, this one is going to be... home field bump, big red machine. If this was in the dome, I think I'd take the Q's. But the home bump, just be a big game for the big red. I'll take big red machine.
Well... One thing that I've mentioned that I see with Cornell is, besides Penn, who's kind of good, I guess, who knows, the other 20 number goals were against Air Force and Dartmouth, and they're poop. So we'll see how they are with Harvard. They should probably beat Harvard. I'm going to go with Cornell in this one.
I'm going to go with Cornell because... Syracuse
having the week off and Cornell not is now starting to make me.
No, I'm going to go with Cornell, though, because Syracuse has had issues with high-powered offenses. Against the three losses were against Albany, Hopkins, and Rutgers. All high-powered offenses.
14 to Duke, too.
It's also going to be cold on Tuesday night.
That doesn't matter.
And I think
that,
snowing.
But even still, Cornell's been playing in cold weather this whole time. I mean,
that's
you think about
hasn't,
it.
Does he have a dome?
Cornell put 15 on Hobart in middle of February in upstate New York, 18
Look,
on Binghamton in March
this
in cold weather.
This is the true definition of a toss-up. This is a pure toss-up.
But give me Cornell just on that one.
Just pure toss-up.
And how about Notre Dame Marquette? Let's pick that one to wrap things up on that.
Notre Dame.
Marquette's come really close to upset Notre Dame a couple of years in a row now in the regular season, but... I'll say the Irish. If the Irish lose this game, though, it could be free fall.
I'll go with Notre Dame in that one. All right. Now, we would wrap up things normally here, but it is a week that is dear and near to Jake Nazar's heart.
Yes, it is.
Sunday is going to be his basking in his glory.
Literally the day of the year for me. Yeah.
First.
I might die. I might just die happy.
We will first start off with the Masters.
Which, yes. Oh, friends, I'm Jim Nance.
Masters.
The Masters.
First, look, Augusta National is lame. I like the Augusta National Golf Club is lame. And kind of sexist.
Hey, Hey, now they're actually adding an amateur women's tournament. They're getting slightly into the 21st century.
That's nice. It's only 2018.
Slightly into the 21st century.
With all of that being said, I'm not saying that doesn't matter. I unabashedly love the Masters. It's the Masters. I just do. I love the Masters. And this Masters should be terrific. Dustin Johnson's won this year. Jordan Spieth has won this year. Justin Thomas has won a couple times this year. Rory McIlroy has won this year. Phil Mickelson has won this year.
Yeah, Tiger and Finn Jim are back.
Bubba Watson is trash, and I hope he doesn't win, but he has won this year.
Even Ian Poulter's won
this year. Tiger is back. Even Poulter's won this year. Yeah, Tiger is back and looks for real. This could really be a classic Masters, which means that some random dude no one cares about will probably win by three. But
yes.
Yeah, this could be a classic Masters. And if you're not picking Tiger to win, you're a cop.
Well, here, I'm going to go with some random guy. Henrik Stenson with the win. And a Boulder.
That's not a random guy.
Henrik Stenson was supposed to win the Masters like 2 or 3 years in the mid-aughts.
Well, he's got his major now. He won the British. Yeah. I'm talking random, like some dude in 50.
Okay, but Stenson wins. And bigger, well, this is why I'm here. Tiger Woods does not make the cut.
Chris,
that is a hot take.
The 2000.
How about Mike Weir?
Mike Weir is officially in the categories of dudes who really should stop playing the Masters, but they invite everyone who's ever won it back anyway. So you get like 80-year-old dudes just popping up to play the Masters.
I'm going to go, in a real serious note, I will go with...
if I had to pick seriously, I'd pick Speed. But I love Tiger. You know, he's back, so like... But yeah, if I had to go on a serious pick, I'd pick Speed.
Outside of... Speed's a good choice. Maybe, I don't know. That or maybe... Give me maybe Jason Day.
Not bad. He's won this year, too.
Not bad.
He's won this year, too. He could, he's played Bald Augusta in the past.
And, of course, if that was enough, as soon as the Masters are wrapped up, it's that night.
Yes, the one night your Twitter timelines just go to crap.
And there's no women's Final Four to save you this time because it's a week later because of Easter. Let's play that theme song that got used over and over again for baseball as well because they used it in one WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, they did.
They did, if I could find it. Here we go. WrestleMania!
Yes, indeed. For the, one of you that listen to this podcast who also likes wrestling. Or two, might be two. Yes, WrestleMania is this Sunday, and you should watch it because it's fun. Again, come on, think about it.
CBS Sports autoplay video. No.
If you can sit down on a Sunday evening and watch dragons breathe fire and people bone and kill each other for no reason, you can watch wrestling. Like, come on. Don't lie to yourself and pretend there's a difference. Don't lie to yourself and pretend that you're intellectual because you watch Game of Thrones while I'm just some, noob, uncultured because I watch wrestling. Don't lie to yourself. Don't do it. Just watch it.
All right, we're going to run off some quick predictions. One, does John Cena end up having a match or is it going to be an awesome 4-minute, 5-hour skit of him just hanging out in the crowd?
Yeah, he'll have a match. He'll face The Undertaker. I hope they do it early because, popping John Cena in the crowd for 4 hours seems like that could get really tired really quickly. All
right.
I also think he does.
All right, let's start. Raw Tag Team Championship, The Bar versus Braun Strowman, and who knows who's coming out with Braun.
Braun, just because he's huge. And he's if you watch Game of Thrones, he's like that mountain dude.
How we go? Well, who's his part? Who's gonna be his partner? Can we make a better prediction of that?
I have no idea who his partner's gonna be. No clue.
Let's just predict.
I'm gonna go with nobody.
There might be nobody. Who knows? It might be nobody.
I'm gonna go
maybe it's Rey Mysterio. Might be.
Random Bill Goldberg return.
I would literally lose my mind if that happened. To be quite honest with you.
Or is that Hulk Hogan? That could be the Hulk.
Or maybe John Cena. Hey, John, you get your match. Or maybe the Undertaker partners with Braun, and then Cena's just sitting there flabbergasted.
That would be hilarious.
SmackDown Championship, Tag Team Championship. It's a triple threat: Usos, New Day, and Bludgeon Brothers.
Give me the New Day. Should be a great match. This would be like the Luke low-key best match on the show.
Another triple threat match: Randy Orton versus Glorious, Bobby Roode versus it's a fatal four-way. Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Jinder Mahal, and Happy Rusev Day.
Happy Rusev Day.
Happy Rusev Day.
Rusev will win because it's Rusev Day and it's Rusev Mania.
I'm going to go Glorious Bobby Roode because I also love his theme song.
It is a great theme song.
And what do you know? Another triple threat match. Vince is really loving the triple threat matches this year. The Miz versus Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor, probably in bright colored tights that will direct to you know where.
Finn Balor, because he has a big hole.
Finn Balor.
All right, the Raw Women's title, Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax.
Nia Jax. That is my pick.
I guess Alexa Bliss, I don't know.
And then the women's title, Charlotte Flair versus Asuka. It's Streak versus Royalty.
Asuka. Should be a great match, too.
I go Charlotte Flair, because Ric Flair's going to come out and cheap shot Asuka.
That's domestic battery.
Woo!
Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Hashtag make Sami Zayn's entrance song a NHL goal song, or at least a Syracuse lacrosse goal song.
That's the wrong hashtag.
This could be an interesting one. I'll go Bryan and Shane. Daniel Bryan is awesome. This is his first match in 3 years, and like, he's great. If you ever seen the Yes Chance at sporting events, that's like his thing.
I'm gonna go Bryan and Shane McMahon because Bryan will pretty much be the only man standing because Shane McMahon will jump somehow high and
Shane McMahon literally has diverticulitis. Like, he had diverticulitis and was in the hospital last week, and he's gonna be wrestling because, like, sure, why not? Vince loves seeing his son jump on the crap.
The big match that everybody's talking about, Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle versus Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. What happens if CM Punk comes out of nowhere for the next UFC to WWE crossover? Nudge, nudge, heh.
Ronda, and it'll be on SportsCenter. That'll be the one match you'll see on SportsCenter. I mean, you probably will see more because ESPN and WWE got like a thing, but the Ronda thing will be big.
Yep, I'm going to go Ronda and Kurt, but then Ronda's really the biggest loser because it'll show that she's not good for WWE.
Then the two big ones, WWE Championship, the dream match, doing Tokyo Dome more than New Japan can, AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura, who will have the greatest entrance of all time. They better have like the whole Philharmonic orchestra.
Like if there's an orchestra symphony in New Orleans, they will probably have Nakamura's entrance.
So this would be the match that would have been 6 stars in the Tokyo Dome, but will be 4.5 because it's in the Superdome.
We got Chris on here, so we can cross over his cheesesteak ratings and Big Dave Meltzer's.
New Orleans cheesesteak would be
all the callbacks.
That cheesesteak would have been 9.5, rated a 9.5, but because it's in New Orleans, it'll have to settle for a 6.3. And the Universal Championship, Roman Reigns, LOL, Roman Reigns wins, whatever.
This match would be great, because these two are just going to beat the piss out of each other. Roman will win. It'll be like the one WWE match you'll see. If you've seen, it'll probably have blood.
Good thing it's going last. Gonna be a while to wait for that blood. But, that'll just about do it. So, just some house cleaning stuff. Because you know it starts next Wednesday. Yes, you know what starts next Wednesday. Time to blast that song out.
The Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yep. Yeah. So, next week, In addition to College Crosscast, beginning of the week, we'll drop a 2018 NHL Stanley Cup playoff prediction show where we'll be all wrong again.
As usual.
At least we won't have the crutch of the Chicago Blackhawks to have anymore. So join us for that next week. We'll probably record that Monday, and then we'll record the regular Crosscast probably Wednesday, because Central New York Derby's on Tuesday. Who knows if Saves moved in by then. And really, we can't do a podcast until that game's done to make any observations.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we gotta really just, you know, create like a shrine to them.
Yeah. That might be our its own podcast. We might have to do a live podcast.
Yeah, seriously.
We
might. I think we gotta go all in on this. This is the game.
We gotta tap into Mr. Desko's gift Ivy League digital network one day passcode, I guess. I don't know.
We're going to send him a Christmas card.
Yes. We'll send him a Christmas card.
Thank you, Big D Desko.
We hope you never get fired. So next week we'll have two podcasts at least, and of course, Across College Lacrosse on Chris's end with his musings and ramblings and stuff as
well.
Yeah,
but I think Safe is going to join tomorrow. He actually DM'd me saying we have to do a podcast this week, and the moving thing sucks, so I don't know what's up with his situation.
You have to do a podcast?
Apparently that's what he said.
By the way, all he's doing right now is gloating about how he was right about having Yale at number 9.
Seriously, yeah, like, I mean, he'll mention that for the next 6 months. Yale won the championship, and he will still mention that.
He'll rank them 5th. Otherwise, follow us. I'm at RyanMcD29.
At ATS underscore. Oh, wow.
Oh, out of order. Okay. But I'm at CF Stremski.
I'm at ATS underscore Jacob.
And at college underscore Frost, that's the main hub. Subscribe to this podcast, iTunes, and Google Play. Follow us on Facebook at College Cross. We have the Instagram account that we haven't updated one bit all season, except for when Hopkins lost, I guess. Same old, same old. CollegeCross.com for all your news across lacrosse news and analysis and wind tunnels.
It is cold out here, guys.
It is.
So hopefully not that much gets moved around due to snow. Hopefully the snow doesn't come whatsoever, but one could only hope. And we'll do that.
Meanwhile, there's a whole crowd outside of Jake's apartment or wherever he's staying at.
That is true.
So on that note, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week for some podcast fun.
Stay hydrated.
Say everybody. Bye, Felicia.
Stay hydrated, especially because if you're shoveling, you don't want to risk dehydration. God damn it, why are we talking about shoveling in the month of April?
Unbelievable.